Welcome to the jungle. A very good Tuesday morning to you. I am Jim Rome. Big, big day. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Big day because it is lottery day. Big day because the Western Conference Finals get underway. Big day because we are 38 days until Smack Off 25. So, lots to get done. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Toll free, good in the U.S. Smack Off. Totally going off yesterday already. It is officially Smack Off season. Got people coming in, getting racked, calling their shots, RSVPing. It was a really good day in that regard. So we'll reset that for you today. Also, follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at HaveTake.com. Coming up next segment, a national NBA writer for the LA Times, Dan Wojcicki. Next hour, a legal analyst for SI, Michael McCann. Got the latest on Bob Kraft, and we are efforting a third guest as we speak. 1-800-636-8686. And you know what happened. Actual LeBron trade rumors. You know, when you see something like that, you have to wonder, where does that start? Where's that coming from? So I'll break all of that down a little bit later on. But today is Tuesday. But if we're being real about this, what today really is Zion Day. Zion Williamson Day, because tonight is the NBA draft lottery. Tonight is the night where we find out where Zion is going to be. And the fact is, there has not been a bigger, more anticipated draft lottery since LeBron came out. Maybe even before that, back to Pat Ewing and the frozen envelope, allegedly. Stay in your shoes, Stern. You're retired. Nobody misses you. Nobody cares what you think. Anyway, the most exotic or the most exciting of the realistic options, according to the odds, is Atlanta. The Hawks have a 10.5% chance of getting the first pick. And if the Hawks were to end up with that, look the hell out. For instance, can you imagine Zion and Trae Young together for the next 10 to 15 years? Throw in John Collins, and the ATL would be the new Lob City. The Atlanta Highlight Factory would be back and better than ever. Then you've got the Bulls. The Bulls have a 12.5% chance of getting that number one pick. And honestly, if they do, well, who cares? Pretty much nobody. And then you've got the three teams with the best chance after that. The three worst teams all have a 14% chance this evening. Take Cleveland. Cleveland could cap off a hell of a 48-hour period by getting John Beilein and then chasing that with Zion. I've got no idea what that means, but I'll be damned if that wouldn't be interesting to me. Then you've got Phoenix, who actually needs a point guard more than they need Zion, but there's no way you turn down Zion, right? No way. Regardless of need, there's no way you turn that guy down. And then you've got a roster which would include Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Zion, and more. No wonder Monty Williams wanted nothing to do with the Lakers. Well, that and the fact that the Lakers are a bleep show. More on that later on. And then you've got the team with the best chance. That, of course, is the New York Knicks. Zion Williamson, New York Knick. Can you imagine the reaction in the city if that happens? Alvin, hit it.
Say go, New York.
Go, New York. And that song would be bumping throughout the entire city. Winning the lottery tonight would be the Knicks' biggest win since they actually won an NBA title nearly a half a century ago. The Knicks need this. The Knicks have to have this. And not because the state of the franchise depends on it, because it doesn't. The Knicks have been incredibly overrated, tremendously unsuccessful. It's been like that for years, yet somehow they just keep right on rolling. No, they need to win tonight because they need to win something. Win the draft lottery tonight, and you should raise a banner in the rafters at MSG. You know, right next to that Billy Joel banner. Yeah, they've got a Billy Joel banner up there. They do. What does that say about your basketball team that a piano man has got more banners in your rafters lately than your basketball team does? And because the Knicks do need this so badly, the New York Post has enlisted the help of a priest, a rabbi, and witches, quote, to break the Knicks curse. ahead of the lottery. Look, I understand what's going on here. I know what you're about. It's just a newspaper trying to get some free pub and to move some fish wrap. But the Knicks don't have a curse. That's not what's going on here. They don't have a curse, at least not one that you can remove with a priest, a rabbi, or witches. No, they don't have a curse. What they have is a terrible owner. It's that simple. I mean, it'd be a lot cooler if Jerome James did put a curse on MSG, or if Eddie Curry cast a spell on the court on his way out. Now, that'd be awesome, but that's not what happened. The Knicks' problems are not because of some bitter old Knicks player, but rather because of a bitter old Knicks owner. The Knicks are terrible because he's terrible and has a history of hiring terrible people, which is why I do not want Zion to go to the Knicks. That's why we all need to summon all of our forces and energy to make sure that the Knicks do not win the lottery tonight. Don't get it twisted. I don't hate Knicks fans. I like Knicks fans. I want nothing but good things for them. The problem is, when good things go to the Knicks, they turn to crap. When good things go to the Knicks, they become bad. Everything that has ever gone to the Knicks has become terrible. And we cannot afford to have one of the best things ever, Zion, become terrible. A generational talent. In any normal world, it would be incredible for him to go to New York. The biggest young star in the biggest city would be amazing. But in this world, in the one where the Knicks have been revolting and a mess for decades, Zion going there is only going to end in sorrow and tragedy. As a freshman at Duke, he proved to be a transcendent player. But transcending the Knicks might be too tough for even Zion. The only good thing about the Knicks possibly winning the draft lottery is that they might actually trade that pick. This is how Knicks they are. Because if you remember, the Knicks do have the possibility of signing two max free agents this summer. So, if you can sign two max free agents and then trade the Zion pick to get another, you've got yourself a super team overnight. Get the best player in generations and then trade them away. Because you think you can win right now. You think you can go from being the worst team in the NBA to winning right now. And that'd be the most Knicks thing ever. It'd be incredible. The only thing more Knicks and more awesome would be to get that first pick and the chance to have Zion, trade him, and assemble some kind of Frankenstein super team that ends up right back in the lottery next year. That'd be so Knicks. Go New York. Go New York. Go New York. Go. They get this guy. And they could. He can't save the Knicks, but they could trade him. How about that? KD? Kyrie? Trade that pick? Super team? Can't wait. Cannot wait. 1-800-636-8686. Go ahead. Where do you think that guy's going to end up? ATL would be great. New York would be a beautiful disaster. Dear Rome, the Suns have had the number one pick. The Cavs have had the number one pick. The Sixers have had the number one pick. I've only had the 2, 3, 7 picks in my time, and I want number one picks. Sign Lakers fan.
My uncle had Magic. My brother had Kobe. I have LeBron. What's he brought me? Nothing. I want rings.
That was part of the Laker protest with some Laker bro. That was rock bottom. Signed John in Huntington Beach, wore Iray Craig, and Beaks in Fudio City, fighting with ducks over bread. A fat guy fighting with a homeless guy, fighting with ducks over bread. Good one, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, John. Stop emailing. All right, on top of that, LeBron trade rumors. Yeah, I'm not one of those guys who get all worked up about some alleged trade rumors. But then again, that's even a thing? Regardless of where that came from? Because it was reported by a friend of the program and an extremely well-respected journo, Tom Haberstroh. So I want to talk about what that might be, where they might start, where that might be, what that might be, what it means. LeBron, allegedly and reportedly, on the trade block. Another one of my favorite stories of the day. Actually, one of my favorite stories of the week. Really, one of my favorite stories of 2019. Joe Flacco. Anytime Flacco's in the news, it's a good day. And he is. Joe Flacco was asked about possibly mentoring Drew Lock. Joe Flacco mentor. That's funny. But not nearly as funny as his response.
Hey!
Hey! I'm here to light it up, fools. I'm here to sling it. Man, Joe Flacco obviously has not looked at the back of his football card. That story's coming up. Dear Jaime, if the Knickerbockers get Zion, do you think JD in the straight shot will serenade him with that awful song? Which one? Do you know how rich you have to be to show up on a stage and do that? James Dolan rich. Yeah, that would not be a good thing. Zion to New York. Zion can fix almost anything. I mean, this dude is transcendent, but he can't fix that. In addition to that, Alex Rodriguez is doing A-Rod things yet again. Went on a water diet, so he looked good on the red carpet. That's coming up as well. He's Batman!
I'm Batman.
He's down to his last few days. Keith Arnold moving on to bigger and better things on Friday. Leaving the Batcave. Hey, Alfred, warm up the car. I'm getting the hell out of here. Dear Jim, the best part about Zion potentially going to New York is that when the Knicks finally win the draft lottery, they'll get to pick a dude about to get fat as tractor trailer, who isn't tall enough to play forward, and who has the shooting technique of an old-timer aiming at a peach basket. And that's before the FBI shakes him down. Sing it! Go New York! Hey, how about an RIP for tractor trailer? Come on, man. Respect. Would you put some respect on that? Matt Whitefish. Go, New York, go. Dan Wojcicki joins me when we come back. Are you finding it tougher and tougher to get to the grocery store? Let Walmart do it for you. Just make your list. Set a time for free pickup or delivery, and then just go about your day. Walmart Associates will pick the best items for you, including fresh produce, and they'll get it ready. It's quick, it's easy, it's convenient, and satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Just download the Walmart grocery app and get started. Use my code, WOWFRESH, WOWFRESH, and get $10 off your first order. It's just a $50 minimum purchase. It does not expire until December 31st, 2019. A small fee does apply. Once again, WOWFRESH is my code. Make sure you use that. Walmart.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Western Conference Finals getting underway tonight in Oakland. So, with that in mind, I'm joined by a national NBA writer for the Los Angeles Times. Good friend of this program and the owner of a dog named B. Arthur. Dan Wojcicki is my guest. Dan, what's going on? How are you?
I know a dog that'll be very happy to hear you talk about him, Jim. I'm sure that tail is wagging somewhere.
Dude, you got to tell the story behind that. Why did you name that dog B. Arthur?
Well, so we wanted to get a female golden doodle, and obviously B. Arthur, tremendous golden girl. We're like, oh, that'd be a fun dog name. They were all out of girls, so we just slapped a period behind that B. And, yeah, it's kind of an unnamed first initial now. And now we've got a male dog named B. Arthur.
Well done.
I would
expect no less. Dan Wojcicki joining us, B.Arthur. All right, so game one of the Western Conference Finals gets underway tonight, as I mentioned. Dan, before we get to that, what do you make of the second round of the NBA playoffs? Was there enough drama for you?
Boy, yeah, no, it was great. I had thought that the Eastern Conference had a chance all four series to be you know, just super fun, just because it's kind of not only for what it meant in terms of getting teams to the conference finals and moving towards the finals, but, you know, the implications. You know, you looked at a Philadelphia roster that could be very in flux, a coaching situation that we weren't sure about. Obviously, some of that's been settled, you know, since. You look at the Boston Celtics, same thing. You know, a roster that could look very, very differently last year. Toronto, what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard? Does any of this matter? You had all of that stuff happening out east. And then on top of it, you had, you know, the best player in the world get hurt in the West. You had the Rockets with the best opportunity they'll probably ever have to get past the Warriors, squandering it. And then you had a great seven-game series between Portland and Denver. I mean, it's just the league is in a really good spot right now, I think, in terms of competitiveness, in terms of storylines, not to mention everything that happened, you know, involving teams that weren't even in the playoffs. It was a good few weeks, I think, for the league office in terms of, you know, getting NBA chatter out there.
Dan Wojcicki is joining us. All right, so what about the matchup in the West? You've got Portland, and it was one thing to bounce back and beat OKC the way they did, but then to come back from three games down, 3-2 down, and then win a game seven on the road against Denver was something else. So there's a confidence and a belief that this Blazers team has been pretty remarkable, but how different is the challenge they face now with Golden State, even without Kevin Durant?
Well, I mean, I think, look, right, like the Warriors without Kevin Durant and with Steph Curry have been almost unbeatable since KD joined the team. I think they're 30-4 in those games. Obviously won a closeout game on the road, you know, without Kevin Durant. They'll be without him, you know, I would imagine for a pretty decent chunk of this series. I mean, the Warriors are the Warriors, right? This is a monumental test. I think the only thing that I would say in terms of Portland is that this is a team that has been counted out all season. When you looked at the way the Western Conference shook out last summer and you looked at sort of, you know, the LeBron moving west and the presumption that the Lakers would make the playoffs, you know, you talk to people around the league and they would try to figure out, well, what team isn't going to make the playoffs, you know? And Portland was a popular answer. They didn't appear to get a lot better in the summer. They had Seth Curry, you know, Rodney Hood in a trade later down the line, but it wasn't like a team that got a ton better. And you know, here they are, though. This is a team that has been in the top part of the Western Conference here for, you know, three of the last 4 years. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum are just a bear to guard. They're very hard to defend. And, you know, maybe we should stop being surprised by their surprises. I wrote something today in the LA Times where earlier this year I talked to CJ McCollum about I do a series called Best Game Ever, and I had asked him about that, and I had assumed that he would have said the game he played in the NCAA tournament against Duke, maybe you know, kind of his sort of introduction to the world as a basketball player and as a potential draft pick. And he took the game before that, the game that got him there, because he understood that if they hadn't won that conference tournament, if they hadn't beaten Bucknell, he might not have been in the tournament. He might not have gotten that chance. And maybe that's what this has been for them. Maybe this is just the moment before the big moment. You know, and I think if you're a Portland fan, that's what you have to hope.
Dan Wojcicki is a national NBA writer for the Los Angeles Times. Dan, let me ask you about something you said recently about Steph Curry. You made the distinction that Curry is not Golden State's best player, but he is their most important player. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I think Kevin Durant, you know, I think he's the best player in the NBA. If not, he's second. You know, he's certainly been, you know, one of the top two in the playoffs, him and Kawhi Leonard. But I think kind of like the gasoline or the engine, you know, what makes the Warriors run like the Warriors is Steph Curry. And what I mean by that is his ability to stretch defenses. It's the way that the ball kind of zips around. It's sort of, you know, his emotion. He's kind of, I think, an underrated emotional leader on that team. A lot of times people point towards Draymond Green. I think, you know, Steph Curry is right there in terms of somebody who can kind of inject life into the Warriors and always seems to you know, he has this great love affair with, like, the big moment, right? Seems like he is shooting 80% on shots in Oracle Arena over his career that, like, really matter. And so I look at that, and that to me, I mean, you look at those numbers, that 30-4 record, and I think that's what that is. It's a style of play type of thing. With Kevin Durant, the ball sticks a little bit, and it should. The ball should stick with Kevin Durant. He might be the greatest offensive player ever, or certainly the hardest to guard. But, you know, for the Warriors, when they're operating, I think, sometimes at prime efficiency, it's what we saw in the second half of Game 6, the ball flying around, making its way into Steph Curry's hands. And some of those shots, they might only count for three on the scoreboard, But, man, they feel like 5, 6, 7 points when you're in the arena. They're just backbreakers.
Dan Wojcicki joining us. Dan, back to that point about how Kevin Durant might be the best offensive player ever. You raised the question on Twitter earlier this month, quote, are we sure, like sure, that Kawhi Leonard isn't the best player in the world, end quote. That was earlier this month. How would you answer that question right now?
I mean, it's tough, right? I mean, I think those are the two guys, you know, and then Giannis is right there too. But what we've seen from Kawhi Leonard, I think, healthy, you know, shooting 60% from the field, hitting obviously huge shots in every series so far, but you know, a really magical kind of, you know, game seven buzzer beater. That's the type of stuff you dream about in driveways, right? That's not real life. That's fantasy. To hit a shot like that. It's what an incredible moment for him. But I mean, he's been terrific on offense, still can take over games on the defensive end in a way that Kevin Durant, I don't think, can. I'm very curious to see what he's going to look like against a really good Milwaukee Bucks defense, and obviously going to be tested plenty. He's going to catch Giannis, I think, on a lot of switches. I'm expecting kind of to watch those two guys at times go at it. But he has a stake, you know, or he has a claim at kind of that title in this league. He's been that good in the playoffs. I think Toronto has done a lot to help their case to re-sign him by keeping him healthy, by putting him in this position, by helping get him ready to be able to go 40-plus minutes in these playoff games, not worry about injuries, not worry about health. I think they've done a lot to kind of help their free agency pitch to Kawhi.
All right, so these guys have done everything they could to keep him there. However, the Clippers have had somebody in a building to watch him and scout him almost every single night this season, if not every single night. Now, you covered the Clippers back in the day during some really interesting times. Did you ever think, Dan, you would see a time where the Clippers would be the more stable, better-run organization and a more attractive free agent destination than Big Brother in the same building?
No, you know, it's a surprise, and I think maybe it shouldn't be, because the more you're around the NBA, I think, and the more you kind of study teams and what makes rosters work and what makes organizations successful, ownership is one of those things that just, you can't undersell the importance of ownership. And when you look at what Steve Ballmer's done, not only financially, right, like look at their summer, Jim. They had two front office candidates, Trent Redden, Michael Winger, important guys sort of in their front office infrastructure. Have opportunities elsewhere. Michael Winger had a chance to interview for the Minnesota Timberwolves job. Trent Redden had a chance to go work with David Griffin in New Orleans. But the Clippers were able to step up and keep both guys, right? And yeah, they can sell unfinished business and all of that stuff, but I'm sure there were raises involved, because the Clippers know, and Steve Ballmer knows, there's no salary cap for a front office. You can pay whatever you want to have the best general managers. You can pay whatever you want to have the best scouting, to have the best analytics team, to have the best training staff and training equipment. There's no cap on any of that stuff. And I've talked to Steve Ballmer about this, and I think, you know, he understands that you can control what you can control. That's a Ballmer phrase that he likes. And that's one of the things that he knows he can control, is he can take out the checkbook and he can write big checks to keep the coaches they want, to keep the front office guys that they want to try to keep. And, you know, there's a power in that infrastructure. And I think you look across the hall at the Lakers right now and you look at the voices that are important, some of them don't work for the team. You know, it's not as robust of a front office. You know, ownership is much more involved, I think, in the decision making than it is across the hall, where people are empowered. I think it's a pretty stark contrast when you look at what the Clippers have done under Steve Ballmer in terms of just kind of building a culture of stability. You know, when you look at the Lakers, where if they're trying to sell that they're stable to free agents, I think they're barking up the wrong tree. You know, you had Magic Johnson quit, telling people like me before he told LeBron James, which is totally insane. And then now he's still, you know, a little bit a part of the process. You have Linda Rambis and you have Kurt Rambis, emerging as really, really important voices. You have a guy, Rob Pelinka, that, you know, doesn't have a ton of respect around the league, and he's been elevated now through all of this. And they hired their third coaching choice because they cheaped out on Ty Lue. You know, this hasn't been sort of the stellar start to, you know, maybe the most important summer that they've had in the last decade. The clock's ticking on LeBron James, and they've got to move. You look across the hall, and the Clippers, you know, even if they don't land Kawhi Leonard, they are in really good position moving forward for the next 3-4 seasons, and they've given themselves options. The Lakers don't have as many.
Hey, Dan, really quickly, as a follow, how and why do the Rambises have so much power and influence over Jeannie Buss? Exactly what is that about?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Linda and Jeannie are friends for multiple decades, Jim, you know, and it's, you know, people have advisors and they have people that are close to them that they listen to. And I think that's been Linda for Jeannie for a long time. And obviously with Linda comes Kurt, you know, who was hired, I think, last year. I was surprised. I assumed he'd already worked for the Lakers. I mean, it feels like he's worked there his whole life. You know, it's either there or the Knicks. And I think, you know, so that's sort of has become sort of her inner circle. Earlier this year, the Times kind of had a big story where we found emails between some representatives from MSG and from, you know, and Jeannie Buss. And Linda Rambis is on these emails, you know. And I remember at the time when the story came out, talking to people saying, hey, congratulations, you just stumbled into the hierarchy. You know, like, that's who's important here. That's one and two on that email chain. And these are high, I mean, these are, you know, talking about maybe ever going back to play at the forum type emails. And Linda Rambis is there. She's got a voice on all of this stuff. And I think it's, you know, the result of a multi-decade relationship with ownership.
Hey, listen, you have a friend. Be as close as you want. Have a friend. I got no problem with that. I'm not saying who she should be friends with. I got no problem with that. He is a national NBA writer for the LA Times. He is a friend of the program. And he is the owner of a dog named B. Arthur. With the letter B. B. Arthur. Dan, great job. Good to have you back. I appreciate it.
All right, Jim, take care. If you need me to name some horses, let me know.
Oh, dude, I need you for that. And thank you for being a friend. Appreciate that.
Thank you for being
Dan Wojcicki. Doing a great job with the LA Times. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, let me pick up that conversation about the LA Lakers and this talk. Thanks, Alvin. Not a fan of that show. I mean, all the respect in the world for naming your dog B. Arthur. But Mrs. Garrett didn't want any of that. Wojcicki's the best. Guys, never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. Like, you may think that it makes you look casual, but more than likely, it just ends up looking sloppy. You can't just untuck a shirt. Shirts, a lot of them are not made for that. That's why Untuck It makes shirts that are specifically designed to be worn untucked. A casual shirt that's not too long, it's not too short, it is just right. Shirts designed so well that GQ calls them, and I quote, perfection. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. Not only do they look good, they feel amazing. Impeccable craftsmanship, attention to detail, make Untuck It the only choice for the untucked man. They've got more than 50 sizing options, so every guy can find the perfect shirt. Log on to untuckit.com, check out all the new arrivals, use the promo code ROME20, and get 20% off your entire first-time purchase. You can also check out Untuck It at one of their over 50 retail locations across the country. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants with your shirt, untuckit.com. Your solution to perfecting casual, use the promo code ROME20 and get 20% off.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The smack-off odds are out, at least according to Stucknut. And some of you are not happy with what he did to you. So there's a lot of that yesterday, more of that today, and I'll pick up that conversation later on too. This email says, Dear Jimmy, it's a bummer to see Keith Arnold leave, but I'm sure he will feel more fulfilled as a manager at Subway. Going from sandwich bitch to sandwich artist is a solid career move. Signed, Casey, New Hampshire. Unwar your turnover rate since Hawk arrived. That's true. Nobody really ever left this program until Hawk got here. And now nobody stays more than a couple of months. The problem with that is the one guy who won't leave is Hawk. It's true, Adam. It used to be that everybody stayed here 10 years or more. Since you arrived, the over-under on guys is like 45 days. Caleb in Green Bay is in. If Zion goes to the Knicks, I'll bet he'll have a heart attack. Bill J in Hackensack. They've got a banner up for that guy. More banners of a piano man recently than for the basketball team itself. If I were Billy, I'd be more focused on keeping that Cadillac on the road and not in somebody's living room. My man drove into a house. Well, damn, that house just popped out of nowhere. How did that happen? In addition to that, going back to Dan Wojcicki and the fact that he named his dog B. Arthur, like they wanted a female dog and then didn't get one and ended up with a male dog, so it's just the initial B. Arthur. Clones, that is not a green light for you to email me pictures of your dog, Tootie. I'm not going there. You also did not name your dog Rudy Huxtable either. I know that. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. Let's talk NBA playoffs. Let's talk Kawhi versus Giannis. Not 80 sitcom stars that you named your dog after. Because Wojcicki did, and I know you didn't. All right, stop lying. You did not name your pit bull Alf. Come on, you know you didn't. Don't waste my time with that stuff. Michael McCann, legal analyst for Sports Illustrated, joins us at the top of the hour. So let me go back to the Lakers. The Lake Show has turned into the ultimate clown show. I mean, they're a laughingstock. There's so much garbage surrounding that team right now and that organization, it's nearly impossible to even keep track of. Starting with, but not limited to, Magic quitting without telling anybody. Luke Walton fired. No replacement for Magic. Jeannie Buss apparently decides to double down on Rob Pelinka with input from Linda Rambis and her husband, Kurt. Monty Williams is a candidate for the head coaching job. Ty Lue is a candidate for the head coaching job. Monty Williams is hired by the Suns. The Lakers set themselves on fire in their attempt to force Lue into a deal. So Ty Lue walks. They hire Frank Vogel as head coach, but make him take Jason Kidd as his assistant. And now there literally is smoke gathering about a possible trade involving LeBron James. Like, that's a hell of a lot. While at the same time, it's not even all of it. But just so we're clear, Magic Johnson quit the Lakers on April 9th. Today is May 14th. That's 5 weeks. All that crap went down in 5 weeks' time. Magic quit right at the end of the regular season, and the conference finals haven't even started yet. That's how quickly this thing has gone that terribly. That's how badly this franchise is bleeding right now. I mean, better yet, another way of looking at it, LeBron James has barely been a Laker for 10 months, and there are already rumors about him being traded. A rival executive told Tom Haberstroh, quote, "I think they very well might explore that," end quote. And in this case, that they're talking about is the Sixers' interest in a possible trade involving Ben Simmons and LeBron James. Again, that's not coming from the Sixers themselves, but from a rival executive. And there are a ton of issues involved that would have to be resolved to make that deal in terms of the salary cap, etc. I mean, it's a long shot. But the fact that we're even talking about this, the fact that anybody would even float or talk about that is pretty mind-blowing. But you know what? Okay. All right. I'll play along. Why don't we start with the fact that LeBron is 34 and Simmons is only 22. And not only is LeBron 34, but he'll be 35 at the end of the year, right? And he didn't just turn 34 overnight. 34. He was 33 when he signed. Him turning 34 was a lock. 34. Same with 35. This is nothing new. But even at 34, and even 34. Running with the garbage that they surrounded him with, garbage that he undoubtedly wanted and signed off on, he still averaged 27, 9, and 8. Now, don't get this twisted either. Simmons potentially is a special player. Like, if this guy could ever get a legitimate jumper, he could be a perennial MVP candidate. I mean, I think that highly of the guy, if he could shoot it. But how would that guy fit in with Lonzo Ball? Again, I'm just kind of playing along with this. Can you imagine Simmons and Lonzo Ball? You probably don't want to put two of the worst shooters ever on the same team, on the same floor, at the same time, right? And not that Simmons would be some kind of great fit with Brandon Ingram either. And then on top of all of that, you're going to tell me that you would trust the Lakers organization, this Lakers organization, to pair him with the right talent. Does anybody anywhere trust the Laker regime right now? Who the hell is running it? Who's in charge? Jeannie Buss? Kurt Rambis? Better yet, Linda Rambis? I mean, is Buss going to turn to Smush Parker and his wife for additional counsel? Or is Samaki Walker and his wife going to come take over the Laker rebuild? Or does it fall on that Rob Lowe lookalike, Rob Pelinka? Hell, the real Rob Lowe will probably end up with that job. Which brings me back to the LeBron rumors. And more importantly, where they're coming from. Because if they're coming from LeBron's camp, if that's how that started, and this guy wants out, who the hell would blame him? Did you see the last 5 weeks? If I'm him, I'm looking around at this clown show, and I'm thinking, I got to get the hell out of here as quickly as possible. I mean, suddenly Philadelphia and Cleveland, anywhere that's not L.A., looks a hell of a lot better. But what if the rumors aren't coming from him and his camp? What if they're coming from the Lakers? You talk about the most Nick thing ever. That would be the most Laker thing ever. And really pretty moronic. Especially the continuing rap that the Lakers are irritated or bothered by the fact that they might seem like they're beholden to LeBron. Like the idea that they don't like people thinking that it's LeBron calling the shots and not the Rambises or Pelinka or Magic from afar. I mean, I'm not sure what's more idiotic right now. Signing him knowing that people will think that he's calling the shots or thinking that you're doing a better job of calling the shots. Lakers have not won a playoff game since 2012. LeBron has been to the finals every year since 2011. The year you won 27 games, he was in the finals. The year you won 21 games, finals. 17 games, finals. 26 games, finals. 35 games, finals. What I'm saying is, maybe this guy's way is better. Maybe LeBron does know something, because it sure seems like the Lakers don't know jack. And if Linda and Kurt Rambis really are the ones who are calling the shots with Jeannie Buss, maybe LeBron knows more about winning than the executive director of special projects and a guy whose career coaching record is 65 and 164. Look, I get that Linda Rambis and Jeannie Buss have been tight for like 40 years, but other than being friends, I don't know why Linda and Kurt are a part of this, much less as big a part of this as reportedly they are. Kurt's resume is a disaster. And even if Linda's is great, it still has not been good enough to make them postseason contenders or even get them to the playoffs in the last 6 years. I mean, it would be so Lakers to whiff on every free agent for years, then have arguably the greatest player in league history fall right into their laps, and then less than a year later, they want to trade him because of some stupid power struggle. Like, oh no, we don't like that. It appears that he's calling all the shots. Let's just go ahead and trade him. They signed the best player of a generation. And now reportedly, allegedly regret it? That's perfect. And now this crack front office is supposed to appeal to free agents in a matter of weeks. Go to free agents. Yeah, good luck with that. Any other team, I'd say there is no way that a LeBron trade happens. The LA Lakers and the way they've puked all over themselves for the past 5 weeks, I'd say that it could happen. And if it does, it would be the most Laker thing ever. The only question now is, who is going to make that deal if it goes down? Kurt Rambis? Linda Rambis? Or is Jeannie Buss going to just bring in Devin George and his wife to make that deal? Is Cedric Ceballos and his old lady in the building yet? And then why stop there, right? You know who they should bring in as a cap specialist? Sasha. How about a director of cost analysis? How about Adam Morrison? Terry Teagle should be their information technology director. And you know who should be the director of game ops? My man, Eldon Campbell. You wish Nick Van Exel would step back in that building. That's not happening. When we come back, Michael McCann, SI Legal Analyst, joins us. Stay tuned.